Our text is the Gospel reading from St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Here ends our text. You call this tempting? There's more tempting going on in devil in blue jeans, sympathy for the devil, and the devil went down to Georgia. There's more tempting in those songs than there appears to be in our text. Hasn't that thought crossed your mind too? We know what tempts us. Sex, money, power, living forever. In literature and movies, that's what the devil normally tempts with. The guy or gal sells his or her soul to win the love of another, to be rich and powerful, to live forever. Such tempting spirits cross our paths every day. If we're young, the demon of lust stirs us. If we're middle-aged, it's the twin demons of power and money. If we're old, it's probably the demon of living forever. If these things were going on in the text, then we would see real tempting going on. Well, they are. The sharpest temptations bring about physical reactions, a racing heart, a watering mouth. You know such temptations, so did Jesus. If you don't think Jesus' heart quickened and his mouth watered at the mention of bread, then you've never been real hungry. The text says Jesus ate nothing for 40 days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. "Tell this stone to become bread," says the devil. And when Jesus looked at that bread-shaped stone the devil pointed to, he saw a steaming loaf of bread and smelled it too. A starving man will be tempted by food more than by lust. And the temptation is just as sharp, intense, and real. Money and power are waved before Jesus too, and not just some, not just Donald Trump or Bill Gates' money and power, but the kind of money and power only known in the ancient world, a man ruling as God. The devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. See them go whirling past in kaleidoscope fashion. The pyramids being built, the glory of Rome, the rise of Britain, Hitler's war machine, the nuclear age, the space age, and more. It doesn't matter how little or how much you have, everyone is tempted by more. More than what we have. With Jesus, the devil puts before him all the power, all the money of the kingdoms of the world and says, "Don't you want it?" You've probably watched enough science fiction to know that in the end, the grizzled, withered man who's gotten every woman he ever was tempted by and all the power and wealth he could ever lust after wants only one thing: more life. He'll trade his fortune, his lover, his very soul to live longer. The devil dangles before Jesus the prospect of not being able to die. He promises, based on God's word, that if Jesus throws himself off the temple, he not only won't die, he won't even stub his toe. To put it in the terms this temptation comes to you today, The devil says Jesus can have no risk factors for dying. Jesus doesn't need to take a pill. He doesn't need to exercise. He doesn't need to eat right to eliminate a risk factor. No, by testing God, he can eliminate them all. Okay, so the things I'm tempted by are in that text. But where's the temptee? James 1:13 clearly says God cannot be tempted by evil. Jesus is true God. He is the second person of the Godhead. He is co-equal with the Father and the Spirit. So how can you call this tempting? You can tempt me with lust, money, power, and living forever. But how can God the Son be so tempted? Isn't this battle between the devil and Jesus more like a Hollywood fight, staged by stuntmen with fake knives or swords? The intensity you see on their faces, well, that's all a put-on. Doesn't God the Son know he's going to win because God can't be tempted by evil? James 1:13 does say God can't be tempted. But Hebrews 4:15 says God in Christ was. It says he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows the watering mouth temptations that you know. Jesus knows the aching need to have more, better, different than you, that you also know. Jesus knows the yearning to live longer, to escape death, to bypass dying, because Jesus was tempted in all things as we are. What's more, the book of Hebrews says Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses. Caught up in temptation, you feel all alone. No one understands. In fact, you don't understand. How can your whole life collapse into this one desire, one lust, this one must-have? It's like a black hole. All things are condensed to only what's tempting you. There's nothing but you in your temptation. Not so fast. Jesus is there too. Not lashing you to do better, not demanding that you get a hold of yourself, but sympathizing with your weaknesses. It's true. I do not know the intensity, density, or high definition of what tempts you, but Jesus does. But wait, we still haven't reconciled God cannot be tempted by evil with Jesus, God the Son, being tempted in all things as we are. Well, God doesn't call us to reconcile one scripture with another, but confess both. God cannot be hungry, yet Jesus hungers here. God cannot be led around by the devil, yet he leads Jesus around here to a mountain and a temple. God cannot be tempted, yet Jesus is tempted here. In order to redeem you, Jesus had to take your place. But God could not take your place under the law because God is under no laws. Whatever God does, by definition, must be lawful. So God became a man born under the law. Likewise, Jesus had to take your place under the punishment of the law. God can't suffer and die. By definition, a being that can suffer or die cannot be God. So God became a man able to suffer and die. In Christ, God suffers and dies. His suffering and death, because it's divine, is worth more than all the suffering, all the dying, that all the kingdoms of the world should do for their sins. You call this tempting? Yes, I do. Here are all the things that tempt us, and here is Jesus being tempted in all the ways we are. Okay, so where's that tempter now? Defeated by a man for all mankind. Though Jesus is God in flesh and blood, he doesn't use the weapons of God against the devil. He uses the weapons available to flesh and blood. Jesus could have defeated Satan with divine power. He could have smoked him the moment he showed up. But Jesus isn't fighting for his sake, for divinity's sake, but for our sakes. For humanity's sake. Jesus doesn't need to overcome the devil as God, since God was never under the devil's power. We were. So Jesus battles the tempter as a man. He parries the devil's words with God's word. The devil stands at Jesus' sonship with a real Son of God wooden hunger. And Jesus blocks the blade with bread doesn't keep man alive. The devil thrusts with false promises of power and glory, and Jesus deflects it by childlike faith. The devil lunges with, if you're a true child of God, you can do anything you want. And Jesus knocks the spear of rebellion right out of the devil's hand with, I don't want to test God. Of course, this was not the last battle. The text says the devil left him until an opportune time. The devil shows up again in Peter tempting Jesus not to go to the cross, in Judas, his friend, betraying him. And at the cross, the devil shows up in the temptation to prove he was the Son of God by saving himself. That last one is the hardest one. In our text, Jesus defeated the devil by actively keeping God's law. On the cross, Jesus could only defeat the devil by passively suffering. Jesus indeed needed to do both for us because we can do neither. We can't defeat the devil's tempting by keeping God's laws or by suffering blamelessly for our sins. Our victory over temptation can only be in Jesus actively keeping the law and Jesus passively suffering our not keeping it. But why are we tempted at all if Jesus already defeated the devil? That's our big temptation. It haunts the corners of your mind when you're in the midst of a battle with the devil. If the devil's defeated, why is he allowed to tempt Christians? He's still booking rides on that long black train that leads away from redemption into eternal death, and you see that train pull out with casualties daily. You feel like the USO worker in early 1945. She wrote home saying that everyone knew Germany was already defeated. And so she was saddened all the more for the American boys who would yet die even though the war was really over. Now you felt that way. If the devil is really defeated, why am I so tempted? If God in Christ really did crush the serpent's head in the desert and on the cross, why does he still slither away with souls today? At last, you're face to face with the devil's grand temptation. The fleshy temptations you feel when you are young, the worldly temptations you feel when you're middle-aged, and the temptation of eternal youth that you feel when you're old, they're nothing compared to this one. The granddaddy of all temptations is that your struggling, your suffering, your enduring of temptation are pointless and meaningless. How can they add to Jesus' victory if he's already won it? What does your struggling to remain faithful matter? What point is there to bearing the ache that comes with not giving in to temptation? Your conflict is not meaningless nor pointless. The battles go on even though the war is over for the sake of souls yet to be gathered. Don't make the mistake of counting God's patience as laziness or even worse, as inability to bring the victory home. Peter writes, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Should the Lord end your tempting right now by casting the devil into hell forever, at that point, those held captive by their lust, their greed, their unbelief, they'd be lost forever. So we struggle on against temptation, not because our salvation is at stake, but because that of others is. We're all tempted to believe that Jesus' temptation wasn't the real deal, and that his victory over it is not a done deal for us. Well, it was the real deal, and it is a done deal. When tempted, we run to the real deal of Jesus' temptation, where we see he really knows the battle we're enduring. When we fall, we run to the done deal of Jesus' victory. From inside of our victory, we can, as Luther advised, make fun of the devil. The devil can't stand ridicule or mocking. So when he comes to us with lust for more, for better, for different, we can respond, you call this tempting. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.